My guest at this time is Matthew Staver. He is the founder and chairman of Liberty Counsel, and he is the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. He has been our guest numerous times throughout the debate over the definition of marriage, state by state, as well as the national debate. Of course, on Monday, the U.S. Supreme Court simply announced it would not hear appeals of lower federal court decisions overturning the definition of marriage in several states as only the union of one man and one woman, essentially legalizing same-sex marriage in Virginia, where Liberty Counsel is located, as well as four other states, and largely clearing the way for other states to file their cases and advance them through the federal court system as well. And Matt, thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure to be with you.
A lot of people on both sides were surprised. Most expected the court to take up this case issue a decision probably sometime next year. Some on your side of this debate are saying, well, at least we didn't get a wide-ranging Roe v. Wade-type decision on the definition of marriage. Others are simply saying it's basically the same conclusion here because the Supreme Court is greenlighting gay marriage wherever the supporters of that can win a legal case. What's your take?
Well, most of the time when the Supreme Court decides not to take the case, you can't read much into it because they never give reasons why. But in this particular case, the decision not to act is actually a decision to act, because here we had five cases pending before the Supreme Court on the issue of marriage. And they knew by not acting that would mean that these five states and the 11 states within those jurisdictions all would be affected, and this would then spread same-sex marriage out throughout the country. So they knew exactly what they were doing. The only thing that you can assume is that three of the justices who you knew would vote against same-sex marriage, Alito, Scalia, and Thomas, ultimately decided not to cast a vote either collectively or individually to take this case. You have to have four justices to take a case, and obviously you need five for a majority. And they no doubt were looking at whether or not there would be a 5-4 majority which way. And I believe that they were reading Kennedy as going the wrong way. And so consequently, rather than having the Supreme Court take a case which they knew was going south with Kennedy as the fifth vote, they decided not to take the case. Now, all that does is it minimizes the impact of this, but to a significant degree, the impact has already been felt. Because indeed, what we already see is last year when the Supreme Court issued the 5-4 decision on Windsor striking down the Federal Defense of Marriage Act, it was that decision that gave rise to all these cases. So they set, I should say at least five of the justices, set the gasoline can on fire, and this week they watched marriage as it continued to burn.
Matt, folks on both sides, and even some who would certainly qualify themselves as being in the middle, although you can make that assessment on a case-by-case basis, say that this essentially is the end of the political debate on this. You had the Washington Post saying that. Last night on Fox News, you had Britt Hume saying, regardless of your position on this, and he would have liked to have seen the effects of gay marriage in a number of states where it was adopted and through the legislature or referendum, what the impact of that is. But he says, the way it's played out, this is over as a political issue. How do you respond to that?
That's ridiculous. In fact, you can't have anything such as marriage or life over as a political issue. That's absolutely stupidity to have that kind of an opinion. You cannot just simply sit back and allow the Supreme Court or any justice or any judge to undermine something as basic and as fundamental and as necessary and as important as marriage. You know, that would be like saying with regards to Dred Scott, when the Supreme Court said, sorry, Dred Scott, you're black, and blacks are inferior human beings. You don't have rights as a citizen, therefore the debate's over. That would be ridiculous then. It's ridiculous now. Or like saying Buck versus Bell, when the Supreme Court said, sorry, Carrie Buck, you can be forcibly sterilized by the Commonwealth of Virginia. The debate's over. No problem. Let's go back to doing something else. That would be as stupid then as it is now, and that's the same kind of way I would interpret and have any response to someone who said that this political debate is over. This is marriage. It'll never be over. And the fact is, I think what's on trial, not marriage, I think what's on trial is the Supreme Court of the United States and the entire judiciary. When the people begin to lose confidence in this judiciary, including and beginning with the Supreme Court, then those entities lose their power. The only power they have is if the people accord it power because the courts have no enforcement mechanism to enforce their opinions. That comes from the executive branch. And when they lose the confidence of the people, they lose their legitimacy. And I think that's where we are teetering right now with this judiciary around the country on this issue of marriage.
Well, let's move back to the politics for just a second here. Matt, to what extent do you think Republicans want it to be over? A decade ago, with President Bush endorsing the federal marriage amendment and the polling numbers certainly in favor of traditional marriage, the Republicans were all in enthusiastically pushing that side of the debate. Now that the polling numbers have changed and the courts have said what they've said, there's hardly a peep of reaction in either direction. In fact, I only noticed two senators even making statements at all on the Republican side yesterday. They've largely ignored it. What do you make of that, and what's the impact on the Republican brand from those who do care about this issue?
They're cowards, and if Republicans don't stand up for this, the party will become a non-issue, and there'll be a third party that will ultimately take its place. That's what happened with the issue of slavery, and there's no party that's immune from this situation. You know, George W. Bush, he mouthed his support of marriage, but when he got reelected on the marriage and pro-family ticket back in 2004, Karl Rove and George W. Bush stood on the sideline. That's when they could have pushed forward with a constitutional marriage amendment, but they chose not to. They chose instead to go forward with Social Security reform, which was not part of his platform. Marriage and life were, and they decided to stand back. You can trace it all the way back to that time frame, 2005, when he became elected, that they didn't push forward when they needed to and should have. However, just because polls change, that doesn't make the marriage issue change. You can't change gravity because a number of people want to fly and get rid of gravity. You can't change marriage and what it is. It's ontologically the union of a man and a woman, simply because some people think that their vote is over or the winds of change have come. This is an issue of significant importance. And indeed, the more people who feel the impact of same-sex marriage, both directly within the family, but also specifically with regards to religious liberty, you're starting to see the polls switch back the other way. In fact, the Pew Research recently showed that there has been a substantial decline in public support for same-sex marriage, and I think you're going to continue to see that. Politicians who govern themselves by polls and popularity, they have no business leading anyone.
Matt, just a couple minutes left here. I want to get your reaction to a couple of arguments largely coming from the right as to why they are now on the other side of this issue. Number one, they say most of the time conservatives are pleased that the Supreme Court decides to stay out of state issues, even though federal courts at a lower level have intervened, obviously, to get to this point. And so they say it was smart for the Supreme Court to say this is none of our business. What do you say?
Nonsense. The Supreme Court stuttered this 2013 with Windsor and Kennedy and the other four knew exactly what they were doing. Now they're wanting to stand by on the sideline and say, well, it's not really us. It's up to these other lower courts to do it. They're the ones who started it, and they should ultimately stop this destruction of marriage. I mean, what we're talking about is the basic foundation of our society. Same-sex marriage as a policy matter says that we're going to create this relationship and encourage people to aspire to it. We're going to protect it. And by the way, boys, you don't need fathers and girls. Moms are absolutely irrelevant to you because it's a fatherless or motherless relationship. That's not good policy. But more than that, it is a direct collision and an assault on religious freedom. It happened before. It continues to happen. We're going to see it increase. This is something that I believe is the beginning of the end of Western civilization. I mean, you can't simply redefine and pretend that marriage and ontological differences between men and women do not exist. This will have consequences.
Matt, last question on this front, and it's one I'm sure you've heard before, and this is coming from the more libertarian wing of the right, and they say this decision from the Supreme Court, or non-decision really, affects zero heterosexual marriages. What do you say to that?
They don't know history. You know, in 14 years, we've only been into this experiment worldwide throughout all of world history, and that began in 2000 in the Netherlands. It's only been 10 years in the United States in 2004 of all world societies. Now, when you look at the Netherlands 14 years later, and it happened very quickly thereafter, when they began same-sex unions, marriage began to disintegrate. No, this will actually affect marriage. Less people will get married because it's not going to be that unique relationship. And when less people get married and you have more children out of wedlock, like you have in the Netherlands, like you're starting to see here, when you begin to destabilize the institution of marriage, you make the economy poorer, you make the society unstable. That's exactly what we're having, and that's what we're going to see here in America and around the world. When you tinker with the very basic foundation of family, and you can assume that gender doesn't matter, you ultimately will affect the rest of society and the strength of that civil government.
Matt, you said before the fight will certainly go on. Where does it go from here?
Well, I think it goes in a couple of different directions. Obviously, there's still more litigation. There's potential for constitutional marriage amendments at the federal level. But I think it's going to really be a test for the church. Will the church ultimately accept this as it did Roe versus Wade? Will they accept it as they did Dred Scott and Buck versus Bell? History ultimately proved that those decisions were wrongheaded, and I think history will ultimately prove that Roe versus Wade is wrongheaded. I think it's going to come to a point where it's either the civil rights movement of the 1960s, where the courts weren't providing justice or recourse to people because of the color of their skin, and people pushed back. The question is, will the church ultimately rise for this occasion? If it doesn't, then the church is in bad shape. But I think it's time for the church and for people of faith and moral values to stand up to this judicial tyranny. This is a system that has broken, and we can't continue to allow it to macromanage social policy as important as marriage.
Matt, we'll have to leave it there. Thank you, sir, very much for being with us.
Thank you. My pleasure.
Matthew Staver, founder and chairman of Liberty Council. He is the dean of the Liberty University School of Law. I'm Greg Corumbus reporting for Radio America.